author of, among other books, Invisible Houston. It's the 50th anniversary of that publication. He's considered the father of the environmental justice movement. To see all of our coverage of the hurricanes that hit Texas, Puerto Rico, Florida, the Caribbean, the wildfires of Northern California, as well as our week special from Bonn, Germany, the UN Climate Summit, go to democracynow.org. And that does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feldstein, Augusta Nermin Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Renee Feltz, Trina Nadura, Amel Ahmed, Nat Needham, Dennis Moynihan, Nicole Salazar, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, Paul Huckabee, Engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
Welcome to the new WHFR Journal, where we discuss happenings in the Dearborn community. The views and opinions expressed on the Journal are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Hi, I'm your host, Lynn, and today we're discussing the Dearborn Community Arts Council with Executive Director Ralph Valdez. Ralph, thanks so much for being here with the new Journal.
Oh, thank you so much, Lynn, for having me. I'm real excited to be able to talk to you for a little bit about this.
It's more than Black Friday.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, it's the most wonderful time of the year. There
you go.
I think of it as the never-ending weekend when you have Thanksgiving. The night before on Wednesday feels like a Friday, and then you're like a few days away from the real Friday.
Right.
It just feels like, oh, boy, we get to keep enjoying, even though I'm working, it still feels like it's the type of holiday where it's more about friends and family and just enjoying
Absolutely.
Each other, eating,
yeah.
You know.
Oh,
not,
yeah,
none of
definitely.
The pressure, not so much of the pressure of Christmas time or other
right.
other wintry holidays where there's so much hecticness. I feel like, mm-hmm. yeah, I would never participate in Black Friday myself, but right. but I know some people do. But I just love the, like I say, the never-ending weekend part of it where it just feels like from Wednesday night on, it just goes for a few nice long days that all feel like Saturday.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But it is kind of the official kickoff of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dearborn Community Arts Council has so many beautiful things, visually beautiful things happening. So I'm hoping you can tell us a little bit about that. But why don't we start out by talking about you
and sure.
some of your background. You've done a lot of stuff.
Well, thank you. Yes, I am very honored to be the director of the Dearborn Community Arts Council, which I've been for, about 4 years now. My background is I'm a lifelong arts supporter, Detroiter. I graduated from Cass Technical High School with a scholarship to Parsons School of Design in New York City, where I got very involved in commercial illustration, but at the same time, music was really becoming exciting for me. So I got much more involved in the music scene in New York and then came back to Detroit and pursued more of a music than visual arts career, although art has always been a part of my background. And I ended up working for the public radio station in Detroit, WDET, for a number of years, and had a great time there. And also worked with the Arab American National Museum here in Dearborn as the curator of cultural programming. After that, I joined the Dearborn Community Arts Council as the executive director, where we are in charge of the Pajeski Art Gallery, which is inside of the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. And we also oversee the Rotunda Gallery inside of the Henry Ford Centennial Library. We work with about 45 different groups in the arts community, and we do fiduciary work. We also do programming for the galleries, of course. And as you mentioned, right now, we do this thing where we turn the gallery into a gift shop, a holiday boutique, we call it, every year around this time. So, yeah, this is that time of year. It started around November 17th, just last week, and we'll be going through December 16th with artists' work, a real wide variety and very affordable work. One of them, by the way, says hello. He knows you. His name's Charles Caro. He works and lives here in Dearborn.
Yes,
he does. Beautiful woodwork, and he actually has some Michigan-themed and Dearborn-themed and Detroit-themed woodcraft that he's selling at very reasonable prices.
His work is very nice. It's very detailed.
Yes, it is. And he's just a great guy. So anyway, he's watching our gallery today so that I can come over here to be with you.
Oh,
and
very
good. So yeah, he's one of the about 30 artists that we have whose work we sell at the gallery as part of our annual holiday boutique.
Okay. All right. What else is in the holiday boutique? What else can we look for?
Well, it's really quite amazing. The gallery, sometimes I feel like it's a really well-kept secret for Dearborn. A lot of folks don't even know that it's there, but it really is a state-of-the-art, beautiful gallery with world-class art from all over the world, also from here in the community of Dearborn in southeast Michigan. And so it's really interesting when we're able to transform it into a gift shop in a holiday boutique. It just really always blows my mind that we can take it from this very beautiful but serious art gallery into this very fun and atmospheric holiday boutique each year. We have a lot of help from volunteers, of course, and some of these ladies really know what they're doing. Some of these friends of the DCAC, they just are amazing how they can, you know, with a few pedestals and some garland and a Christmas tree and some other holiday-themed ornaments and decorations, just really transform the gallery into a gift shop. So that's the main thing. It's just the look of it is just really cool and really fun. And then the art itself is just everywhere you look. And as I said, very affordable, starting at like $5, going up to a few hundred or a couple hundred dollars. But some of the real affordable things that are very popular include hand-blown glass ornaments from Poland. There's a gentleman who we've been working with as long as I've been involved with the DCAC, and his name is Martin Wansier, and he has a shop in Poland where he creates this beautiful glass, and he brings it here, and he sells it in the suburbs, and he sells it all over the Detroit area. But for some reason, he has an affinity and affection for the Dearborn Community Arts Council and the Pajeski Gallery, maybe because of the Polish name. And he gives us a good deal. So our prices for these ornaments, I think, are lower than you would find them elsewhere. And they are all unique, individual. Everyone is different. And folks seem to really love coming to get these every year. It's almost a tradition for them and their families to have a different blown glass ornament.
Okay. Does he have kind of an annual sort of thing where this is the 2017 ornament, that sort of thing? Or?
I don't think he has that so much as just the looks of them are different from year to year, and he has such a variety that, you know, I've heard some of our customers at the gallery, at the boutique, say that they got this particular one a couple years ago, then they got a different one, and this year they're looking forward to, you know, a different design and a new one. So I don't think he actually commemorates them with a year, but the look of them is different each time, and they're in various sizes, you know, in various shapes. Some are just traditional global, you know, spherical. Some are shaped like bells. Some are shaped like hearts. And as I said, we have different sizes that he presents for us. And he also does vases and just really beautiful glass art, you know, like creatures and animals and things, and just some really, really nice work. And We also have a woman from Italy who does beautiful jewelry, and her name is Emanuela Mariona, and she has beautiful jewelry. We have several artists who do their own jewelry, and so there's a lot of variety of different types of jewelry. Another thing that's very popular are these, they're called hot pads, but they're sort of aromatherapy things that you put something hot on these beautiful handmade pads, and then these aromas come out, you know, they kind of come to life with these scents. And those are like $6, so people love those, and they all have different designs. They're all hand-stitched, and they're sort of like a potpourri hot pad. Mm-hmm. So those are just a few of the things that I know people really, really like. Through the years, we've had cards, you know, homemade holiday cards. We've had, as I mentioned, Charles and a couple of others who do laser-cut wood art. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just a ton of stuff and a lot of fun, and the atmosphere is very, very fun there at the Pajeski Art Gallery when we turn it into the annual holiday boutique.
Right. You mentioned also that you had some display at the Centennial Library.
Not currently, but through the year we work closely with the Artist Society of Dearborn, and they do regular spring and fall showcases there.
Okay.
We've been talking with local photographer Bruce Harkness about doing an exhibition of his work. Very, very good photojournalist, and he used to be the city photographer for Dearborn, and he's captured a lot of images of Dearborn and Detroit, and he was hoping to have a show at the beginning of the year, but I think we're going to be moving that into another time of next year, of 2018. We have a teacher's art exhibit from the Dearborn Public Schools that's going to be happening at the end of March at the Rotunda Gallery. That's really the inside of the Henry Ford Centennial Library. There's that kind of area that they call the Rotunda, and that's where they hang the art for the sort of an improvised gallery there.
What kind of medium for the teachers?
It's going to be pretty much everything, all media included.
Okay.
So that's going to be fun, and that I believe will start on March 28th. Around there.
Oh, okay. All right, right before Easter.
Yeah, and that'll be kind of leading us into another April Arts Month Dearborn, which we initiated with other organizations in the arts here in Dearborn last year. This will be our second year, and we're real excited to be doing something called a gallery rally. I didn't even seem to realize that there are so many galleries in Dearborn, and there are at least 7, maybe 8. And our gallery, of course, is one of the participating galleries, and we're going to find a way to connect all these galleries through sort of a rally where people can go from each one at different times and see and experience different things. And that's going to be happening on April 7th next year.
Oh, 7 galleries.
Yeah, there's, of course, the gallery in the Arab American National Museum. There's the gallery of here at Henry Ford College. There's the U of M Berkowitz Gallery. There's the Glass Academy, which we consider a gallery as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the Art Space now has a gallery that we'll be working with them as well.
Right. The old City Hall property.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right. So Art Space is, you know, slowly but surely getting on board with some of the activities in the arts in this community, and it's wonderful to have them. I know I'm leaving and forgetting a few off, but there are, I think I mentioned the Sisson Gallery here, and there are a few others that will be participating, and some of the newer ones that some of the folks that we've been talking to include the galleries at the local hospital. So there'll be involvement from as many as we can find and as many that want to participate, and we're not trying to reinvent the wheel so much as just have a chance to profile and give exposure to each of these galleries and have something connecting them all. And we've been having meetings to talk about the date, which we determined would be April 7th. And we're going to find a way to kind of, almost like with the Shops Mall, have a passport that people can get stamped when they go to each gallery and then have prizes at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Each gallery will have either food or music or both or some other type of special event that will coincide with what is happening in the gallery. For us, at the Pajeski Gallery, we're going to be having a show of Dearborn, of artists who came through Dearborn's school system, and it's called Rock, Paper, Paintbrush, and it will be Elroy Gandy, Muhammad Bazzi, and Wendy Sample. These are three artists and teachers whose work will be on display next year at our gallery as part of the April Arts Month and the gallery rally.
Okay, all right. How is the rally going to work? Are you still working out the details?
We're still working out the details. We were originally hoping to have a shuttle bus that would transfer people, but I don't think that's going to be the plan this year. I think it's going to, you know, like I said, we're glad that we're able to be involved and each year kind of do a little bit more, but that might be a little more ambitious than we can handle this year. But we will at least encourage people to kind of create their own, you know, transportation and move from gallery to gallery, just to find a way to realize how connected and how many galleries are here in Dearborn. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that you could spend pretty much the whole day going from gallery to gallery to see different things and enjoy different, like almost a different art opening at each one with special surprises and treats and fun stuff happening at different hours, so that you could start conceivably at one gallery and then work your way through to the end of the day, like in the evening at the final galleries that you would be visiting.
Yeah.
So we're staggering the events or the goings on at each gallery so that they kind of coincide and complement each other.
Mm-hmm. If we're interested in more information about this, you have a great website.
Yes, which is dcacarts.org. So that's dcacarts.org. And the gallery rally information is probably not up yet. We still have a few things to take care of before then. As you mentioned, Lynn, we have the Holiday Boutique happening currently, and that's going to be going through December 16th. And then we're going to do our annual juried photography exhibit, which will be in February. And the applications for that will be up and available coming up probably in the next few weeks. But the website is the best place to go to see what is offered and what's coming up. And again, that's dcacarts.org. So dcacarts.org. There's so much fun stuff that we're involved with, including the Mayor's Arts Awards, which we're always looking for nominations, and that's going to officially be open for folks listening and people who are involved in the arts to nominate some of the people that they feel have done some great things in the past year. And that's the Mayor's Arts Awards, which will also be happening in April. And so the whole idea is that April is a great month to recognize all the things that are happening in Dearborn, including what's happening with our organization.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And a lot. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's a lot that kind of goes under the radar that people don't always seem to be aware of, and I think it's definitely worth promoting.
Right, right. Back to your house, the Performing Arts Center. Can you tell us a little bit about the Festival of Trees?
Yes, so the Festival of Trees has been going for a good long time. It used to be at Cobo Hall in Detroit, and more recently, I'm not sure how many years, but in the last number of years, it's been the home for the Festival of Trees has been over at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, which many folks refer to as the Rec Center, or the old ice skating rink. The Hubbard Ballroom was there. We still have just so many wonderful things going on there in spaces. And the Festival of Trees is a benefit for Children's Hospital, which our hours of the Holiday Boutique for the Pajeski Art Gallery coincide with a lot of the hours of the Festival of Trees. So we benefit from having the proximity and having so many wonderful visitors coming to the Festival of Trees and then coming to our gallery to buy some of the artists' mm-hmm. artwork that's available there. The Festival of Trees will be ending this Sunday. That's the 26th of November at 4 p.m. But they're open till 8 p.m. tomorrow, and Saturday. Wait, tomorrow is Saturday.
Tomorrow is Saturday.
I'm thrown off with this long weekend.
So, I know.
So tonight, which is Friday, there'll be we at the gallery and the Festival of Trees will be open till 8 p.m. And then tomorrow, Saturday, till 8 p.m. And then Sunday, the Festival of Trees closes at 4. And I think the gallery will be open till at least 5. Their website is FOT.org. You can go to find out more specific information, but the idea behind the Festival of Trees is that there are just a number of beautiful trees that are created by different sponsors and different organizations to show off their artistic talents and their work, and it transforms the Hubbard Ballroom into a very beautiful winter wonderland. There's also Santa will be there, and there are gift shops and other fun things inside of the Festival of Trees area of the Hubbard Ballroom.
Okay.
It's a great place for kids, for, you know, kids of all ages, families, friends of that appreciate the holidays and the beautiful displays of these trees. So yeah, it's all in the name, Festival of Trees, and it really is. Mm. And it's going up through this Sunday, ending at 4 p.m. And as I said, our gallery is right there next to the ballroom, so we'll be available for you to... We get a lot of people who go to check out the Festival of Trees and come to do a little shopping in our gallery, in our holiday boutique, or the other way around, and we are always very helpful and happy to hold on to their stuff as they move around, and, you know, they can don't have to lug things around. They can just leave them there and come claim them afterwards. But I do encourage everyone to go and check it out, and as well to be able to... Just come and see all the beautiful artwork that's available at the Pajeski Art Gallery as part of our holiday boutique.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I should have asked you this before we went on air, so I apologize for not knowing. What happens to the trees after?
At the Festival of Trees?
Yes.
I think they're donated, but I'm not sure if they end up going back to the organizations to use or not. So I'm not as involved with the Festival of Trees, so I don't know too much about the history or the details of that.
Right.
But I just feel like we benefit from our association with them in the sense of just having, you know, being able to be so close by while they're in business for their little window of time that they are going. They start also on the same day that we started, which was last, I think it was last Thursday, the 17th. No, actually, we started before them, and then they have their preview party, and then they open officially to the public, I believe.
So it's
about a week that they're open,
mm-hmm.
The Festival of Trees, and they get so many people, and it's so wonderful to see all the different groups and the different visitors that they get.
Right.
They do a lot with charities and a lot, as I said, with Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a wonderful cause and a great environment to kind of get into the spirit.
And it's all about the kids, which is wonderful.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
That they're able to help kids who are in the hospital. And gosh, at Christmas time, that's even worse.
Right. It's important work that they do, and it's important to put a smile on young people's faces.
Exactly. I mean, it's bad enough if you understand what's going on, but when you're a kid and you don't understand what's going on, that's even worse. So,
right.
Yeah. So it's a good way to help the kids, too. So that's FOT?
FOT.org.
FOT.org. Festival of Trees.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. if you Google the words Festival of Trees, Children's Hospital, you'll get their website as well, because if you know, I've made the mistake of just Googling Festival of Trees, and there apparently are quite a few of them throughout the country.
Okay.
So you either want to, if you're just going to Google the words, make sure that you put in either Michigan or Children's Hospital along with the words Festival of Trees.
Okay. All right. Wonderful cause, and as you said, it's it's great to have the two entities so close together.
Right.
And I was there last Friday for the Dearborn Symphony concert, and the whole place is just bright and festive. And that was a week before Thanksgiving, but it was okay. It was okay.
Yeah.
You didn't care that it was a week before. It was a good way to get into the mood and the spirit for Christmas.
Sometimes it feels like we're rushing the holidays.
Yeah.
But I think once you get a little closer to Thanksgiving, it all starts to kind of come together and feel okay to celebrate. And the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center does have such a big part, has such a big part in the celebration of these holidays. And you get such a variety of people as the demographics for Dearborn changes. You get this influx and this attendance of so many different types of people who seem to just really enjoy the spirit of the holiday without having to get specific into any particular religion or anything. They just enjoy the fact that I think we all do enjoy the sort of the spirit of it, the camaraderie, the seeing it through the children's eyes, through the faces and the enjoyment that kids have for the holidays. But the symphony, I'm sure that was a wonderful experience as well. We also had, I think, the tree lighting and the sing-alongs just this past Monday at the Ford Center, which is so much fun because you have hundreds of families and kids coming in to witness the lighting of the big tree in front of the Ford Center there. And the gallery, of course, is open, so we get a lot of visitors for that. And then the Festival of Trees, and I think they were actually showing a movie for free as well. This was all the past Monday that, as you said, kind of leads into the holidays, kind of makes you feel like it's part of not just any one specific holiday, but just this general time of year that people are coming together and trying to, you know, not be stressed out, just have a lot of fun, just have some joy in their life. And I think it was actually snowing that night, and it felt like, and maybe it was the day before, but we had a that snow globe effect where these big flakes were coming down, and it just felt so Christmassy and, and wintry and in a good way and not a stressful way. So yeah, that's always a lot of fun. And as you said, it kind of kicks things off and leads you into it. And the older we get, you know, we start feeling like, boy, that's just one leads right into the other so quickly anymore. When we were little kids, it felt like there was so much time
forever
between these holidays. But I do still feel like I think Thanksgiving is probably my favorite because it's more about just the friendship, the food, the families that come together and enjoy each other's company.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yes, I come from a very large family, so we take it in stages. We do our individual families first, and then we do the what we call the brothers and sisters party, which is tonight.
Okay.
And I have 10 sisters and 5 other brothers. I'm one of 16 children.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it's from the same parents who have passed on, but they've passed on a wonderful tradition to us as well, which is to stay together and try to celebrate the holidays as much as we can together. So after we have our individual Thanksgivings with our specific families, then we have our brothers and sister party, which is just the brothers and sisters coming together, spending some quality time, just enjoying food and drinks and life and music and sing-alongs and things like that.
Yeah.
And then the next day, Saturday, we have our Mexican Thanksgiving.
Okay.
That's our heritage. And we usually rent the back room of a Mexican restaurant in Detroit, in Southwest, where we grew up.
Yeah.
And that's more open to everybody. So all of our out-of-town relatives and friends and family come together. So we usually have maybe about 50 or 60 people for that.
Okay.
And that's a very enjoyable piece of it, too. So it's almost like a progressive party where you start small, each day gets larger, and by the weekend, it's just one big happy family just enjoying and we were very fortunate growing up, too, that we celebrated our Mexican heritage and our traditional cuisine along with the American food as well. So we would have a platter of enchiladas mixed with a ham or a turkey or, you know, tostadas. Everything was all kind of together, but nothing got wasted. Everybody ate and enjoyed the food. How about you? Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did. And I thought that my husband was one of 11, and I thought that was enormous, but not anymore.
Yeah.
No? We were small. We were only about 20.
Oh, wow.
But Christmas, everybody will be together, and it'll be the better part of 60 at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, so. we have to rent a hall for Christmas.
Yeah. But we had the traditional turkey with all the trimmings.
Oh, nice.
And a lot of nice company, nice family, and dogs. Oh, my goodness. We had four dogs who were part of the Thanksgiving party.
Oh, nice. We had a dog this year, too. A friend of ours, they brought their dog, Toby, so that they could stay longer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a border collie mixed with something else. I can't remember, but she's just the most well-behaved and sweetest dog.
Mm-hmm.
And a good watchdog. When people came to the door, she would bark and get a little excited, but then she'd calm down quickly. So.
Okay. Now, did she get everybody herded into dinner at the right time? And
that's what they do.
They do.
They just love to herd and have that instinct for corralling people, and sometimes we need it.
Definitely.
Sometimes that dinner bell doesn't quite do it. It's like you need a little animal friend to help you. And speaking of that, you were going to mention about the animal shelter, the Dearborn.
Oh, sure. We can talk about that. I don't have the flyer in front of me, but definitely check out what's going on at the Friends for Metro Detroit Animals, formerly known as the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And this weekend, ending tomorrow through Saturday, they have a two-for-one special. So if you adopt one cat or kitten, you get the second cat or kitten for free.
That's very nice.
They're for whatever reason, right now, there is just an overabundance of cats.
Mm.
And I talked to one of the volunteers who is a foster parent for the shelter, and at this point she has 14 cats that she's caring for. That's a little ambitious even for me, the crazy cat lady. But it's great. Check out Friends for Dearborn. If you just ask for Dearborn Animal Shelter on the internet, you can still go there, and they'll give you all the details. Hopefully you understand how animal adoption works. You don't just walk in and walk out necessarily with an animal companion. You are checked to make sure that you are a potential good parent, a good pet parent. And if you have other animals in your house, they make sure that those animals are well taken care of. And they will follow up with your vet and right on the spot. And if everything works out and if it's within the correct hours, your vet hours and your adoption hours all work together, you may walk out with two beautiful little kitties.
And that's the way it should be. It should be done in such a way that these pets are going to good homes with people who will definitely give them the love that they need and provide it back for them. So it's not just a haphazard, here, come and get a pet. It's very thoughtful and thought out, so that's good.
Yeah.
We also have at the gallery, as part of our holiday boutique, a dear friend, Karen Holland, who has created things for pets that will be donated. The artist portion of the proceeds will be donated to the animal shelter. So,
oh, wonderful.
We've sold a number of those to people because they feel like they're making a good contribution to a good cause as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they include, animal blankets and these kind of pull toys that cats and dogs both love.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other things that I think are just very affordable but very fun and good for pets. And as I said, a good cause, because the gallery splits their donation and the intake of the artist's work. So pretty much with anything we do at the gallery, it's a 30-70 split, where the artist will get 70% of the sale and the gallery will hold on to 30%, just so that we can keep operating.
Sure. Yeah.
And in this case, with these wonderful things that have been donated and created by Karen Holland, that she calls PAWS, P-A-W-S, and it's for the cause of the animal shelter, and in this case, the entire 70% will be going to the shelter. So,
oh, fantastic.
So when you make a purchase of one of these items, you'll be doing something good for the little furry friends in your life.
Two times.
A couple of times,
Two times, yeah. You're helping the gallery and helping the pets.
Exactly. So it's a good
win-win.
It's a win-win.
Well, it's a win-win-win, because when you take home that pull toy,
you're making your pet happy too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Christmas time for the cats and dogs.
Yeah. But there are a lot of fun things there at the holiday boutique. Karen is also a very big fan of and proponent of upcycling and finding ways to give new life to items and things that have been discarded. So she has these fun little things that are like, I guess, sort of like a pencil holder, but they're made out of floppy disks that she's tied together. She's done this thing that I've never seen before, but she takes a wine glass, turns it upside down, and puts a little Christmas scene at the bottom of the inside of the wine glass with snow. It's almost like a snow globe.
Sure.
And then at the very top of the stem, which is now upside down because the, you know, the glass part is down there, and the stem is at the top, then she puts a candle on top. So it becomes like a candle holder with a Christmas scene, and it's a, you know, a wine glass that is turned into something multi-purpose functional.
Clever. Very clever.
Those are just a couple of the fun things that she has upcycled. And I can't think of all the other ones. She's got some rain sticks, and as I mentioned, some of these things that she's done for the animal shelter that are pet-related. Oh, and Christmas ornaments and little knit balls for kitty cats and things. So she's got a lot of pet-friendly things there at the gallery.
Okay. If we can go back a little bit.
Sure.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around how the ornaments come over from Poland, because they're fragile. They're glass.
Right.
They're blown glass. And
so
how many does he bring normally?
Oh, gosh. He brings, I would say, at least a couple of hundred. And he does sell them here as well, like I said. So he must have a shop somewhere in the suburbs. I believe he has a shop as well. But I don't know that he makes them here. I think he only sells them here.
Okay.
So he goes back and forth to Europe, you know, constantly. And that's where his shop is, with his workers and his, you know, friends and family that help him, that create these ornaments. And when he comes to the gallery with the Polish glass art and ornaments, it takes a good part of the day to get them entered the inventory and to help him get them off the truck or off the van that he brings them in. Mm-hmm. So it's a big process, but it's very worthwhile, and it does give our boutique kind of a personal and international stamp that really people seem to appreciate, as I've said before, I've noticed families buying one every year for as a special memento, a reminder of each year that passes. But the ornaments themselves, I would say it has to be at least a couple hundred, and then that's not even counting all the different art glass, the vases, and the blown glass figurines and things that he does as well.
Okay. I obviously things are shipped all over the world. I mean, I understand that part of it, but it's just, you know, when you talk about a craftsperson like that, you know, carrying their wares and what have you, it's delicate, fragile.
It is. I've never, I should ask him more about it. I've just kind of taken it for granted that they get to us somehow, but you're right. But, you know, they're all very lovingly wrapped and carefully wrapped and, you know, so yeah, they're. But like I said, it's a big process and a big deal when he brings his wonderful glass art for us to use for the holiday boutique at the Pachesky Gallery.
Wow. What else is happening in Dearborn? Talking about, at some level, it is the most wonderful time of the year. And when we talk about the streets look different and the shops look different and any of the other community groups that are involved with making Dearborn a decorated holiday community?
Well, I know what you mean, that the city just kind of takes on this wonderful holiday feel with decorations, and it seems like the stores and businesses really get into it and get into the spirit of it all with special things that they do for each business and for this time of year. I'm not sure exactly what all, I mean, I should know some of the things because we work closely with some of these other organizations, but I'm so focused on the gallery right now and turning it into the boutique that I don't know that I know a lot of what other people are doing right now. I can tell you some of the things that the DCAC and the Pachesky Gallery do through the year.
Sure.
You know, so we get very involved with, as I said, every month we try to have a different show, and the gallery and then turned it into a holiday boutique, magically transforming it into a gift shop at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But leading up to that, we do a lot of things in the community, such as the Dearborn Homecoming, where we have a children's art tent, where we offer kids a place to come and paint or do something artistic and take home a piece of art that they've created, mm-hmm. and that's all for free. Mm-hmm. And we also work with, as I mentioned before, the community at large to come up with nominations and awards for the Mayor's Arts Awards, which we do every year. And we were doing it in February. We've moved it last year, and I think we're going to continue to start doing it in April to kind of keep it in the theme and the celebration of April Arts okay. Month in Dearborn. The thing that we really like to do is to kind of change things up at the gallery from time to time and do paint parties we've done in the past that have been very popular. We've done yoga paint parties, and we have a couple of yoga instructors at the Ford Center, and one of them has offered to come and do, has some great ideas, like maybe do a string ensemble performance and then yoga, or, you know, just using the gallery space in some creative ways. Mm-hmm. So we try to do things like that. But as far as the general time of the year thing, I just know that when the fall comes, it just feels like, for me, it is the most wonderful time of the year, more even than Christmas. I just love the transition from summer to fall, when those yes. leaves and the colors just start to really, really come to life, and when the sun's hitting on these different colors. And I always think, boy, there would be less trouble in the world if we could change colors regularly, mm-hmm. like the leaves mm-hmm. on the trees. And then people would say, boy, your colors are great this year. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure people being what they are, we would find something else to fight about.
Oh, probably. One thing with regards to this is referred to as the holiday season.
Right.
And as you mentioned, encompassing any number of religious groups, any number of ethnicities, etc. I was a little surprised when I saw all the different holiday stamps available at the post office.
Right.
And it was the first year that I noticed the variety that we have. And I know if I try to recite what I saw, I'll get it wrong. But
good for them for doing that, for making an effort to have more diversity.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Hanukkah, and then the Christmas, religious, Christmas, secular, those have been there for a long time. But I did see, all I can remember now is one more, but the Diwali stamp.
Oh, Diwali, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's a really, really beautiful Indian custom.
Right.
Very, very much like a Christian Christmas, very much.
Well, that's one thing about the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center that I've noticed as working there, as I'm not directly involved with the center, but I my office is there, and then, mm-hmm. of course, the gallery is there, is that we do a lot with East Asian cultures, with Arabic cultures, with the different festivals. We've had Yemeni festivals there, and I feel like this town has really taken it upon themselves to make that their home, to make it celebrate the diversity of Southeast Michigan and specifically Dearborn in a beautiful way. And I think that it's, it can't be overstated just how wonderful this space is and how it's used for Diwali festivals, mm-hmm. and Ramadan festivals, mm-hmm. and just different cultural activities. We have a lot of Middle Eastern comedians that come over and perform at the center and draw huge crowds, you know, people that we may not have heard of in our day-to-day experience, but in their circle, they're just big, big names. And mm-hmm. so and music as well. We've had some really wonderful artists like Marcel Khalife, and many, many artists of different backgrounds and diversity and nationalities and varieties that come and use our beautiful 1,500-seat theater, as well as the smaller spaces that we have there at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. So it's just another way that I think Dearborn celebrates diversity and embraces diversity, which mm-hmm. is really cool.
Mm-hmm. And there are, as you mentioned, a lot of diverse concerts. Motor City Brass Band has, December 10th, has a Christmas concert coming up And those are always interesting and fun. And again, it's a community organization. Craig Strain was on an Impact show a couple months ago talking about the amount of time that the musicians spend. And they're spending time like a professional musician to get everything ready. They're community volunteers, and they come up with some phenomenal music. So another good thing happening at the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, we work closely with the Motor City Brass Band. Mm-hmm. They're one of our umbrella groups, we call them, that mm-hmm. we help promote and work with in different capacities. The National Arab Orchestra also performs there from time to time at the center, and have been doing these wonderful sort of hybrid concerts of mixing cultures and bringing some things together for that. The Mayor's Arts Awards, when we're looking for music and things that we can present to help celebrate the Mayor's Arts Awards, we often have some of the high schools perform, and we get everything from versions of like scenes from West Side Story, which Dearborn High School put on last year, to an all-female Middle Eastern singing group called Jamila. We've had young up-and-coming singer-songwriters get up and perform. So we try to have, you know, not just a straight awards ceremony, but to throw in some local talent as well. And we've mm-hmm. always been felt very blessed and very fortunate to have a lot to draw from here in the Dearborn community.
Yes. Yeah. And that is a beautiful theater. If I'm not sure, again, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, although it sounds like it.
I'll do my best.
Can you talk about ArtSpace? Because it's been around for a few years now, and I've only heard good things.
Yeah, I was actually on the committee for the, when there was... I was asked to be part of a group of the selection committee of helping to screen through some of the applicants. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty amazing to see some of the folks that came through. And I was very glad to see that most of the ones that I was honored to be part of the process with actually were able to get spaces there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, my understanding is that ArtSpace is pretty much at capacity right now with all of the units being used. And I've visited a few times, and I'm always just amazed at how creative the environment is. You know, there are studios and live work spaces combined, and there are galleries, as we mentioned, that will be taking part in next year's April Arts Month Gallery Rally. And the vibe at ArtSpace has kind of been slow in coming together, but I think it's getting there, and it's finally feeling like there's some wonderful creative contributions to the landscape of the city happening there at ArtSpace, and we're very proud to be working with them, and mm-hmm. we want to do more. Every time I meet anybody from ArtSpace, they're always artists, and they're of all different varieties and different ages. Mm-hmm. So I get some really enthusiastic older people, maybe my age, and then some younger people who are just really enthusiastic and excited and want to do things with the DCAC as well. So we're trying to find opportunities to make things happen and make more work together for the community at large, but through ArtSpace, and help people mm-hmm. understand what a beautiful thing that is.
Can you go back to the very beginning? Because I'm sure that there are people listening who are not really sure what ArtSpace is.
Sure. So ArtSpace is a national organization that has a pretty large number of rehabbed buildings throughout the country, where they look at spaces and try to find a way to turn these spaces into something useful for artists who have struggled to find a space that they can use or call home. And my understanding is that with ArtSpace, you have to be able to do something for the community and create your art. But if you become too successful at it and are making too much money off of it, then you have to leave and make room for somebody else, which I think is also a good thing. So you can use ArtSpace as a stepping stone, and you can use ArtSpace to find your footing and get established as an artist of any age. But if you're, say, for instance, if you suddenly start, you know, raking in the big bucks, then they ask that you have to find a different space so that somebody else who's struggling can come in. So it's kind of a struggling artist's environment. Mm-hmm. But having said that, it's just full of creativity and diversity and good things for the community and throughout the country. All the different art spaces that are in existence have all done very well and have been very successful and have only added to the overall environment of which they're part of. So I know that that's happening here in Dearborn. And as I said, that may have been kind of a slow start, and they're getting more and more on their feet. They're self-governed, self-contained. They all kind of meet as committees and kind of lay down the rules of how they want things to go. And mm-hmm. I think it is a very cool thing. And they're continuing to do more and more and getting more and more involved with things around the city. So we're looking forward to their participation in April of next year as part of April Arts Month and the Gallery Rally.
Wow. Yeah, it is exciting. And as I said, when I, leading into this, I've only heard good things about it. So it's working.
It does seem to be, yes.
Yeah. What other cities offhand have these?
I think Minneapolis is one, Chicago, New York, okay. Some of the big cities, and some of the other Midwestern cities that I think it might have even started in the Midwest, if I'm not mistaken. But it was a coming together of ideas that really took off, that I think people did something good where they realized that there's a need for kind of a like you said before, a win-win, but in this case, a win-win so that you're taking a building that would otherwise be neglected mm-hmm. or not be in full use or abandoned,
yeah.
and giving it a new life mm-hmm. as a home for many artists who often need a space to work in and a space to create in and a space to live. And it becomes, it adds to the community. I know that the Arab American National Museum, which is right across from Art Space, is working on a residency for an overseas artist to live there and be part of the community and kind of do workshops. And that's another thing that I think Art Space does is just really gets right into the community with workshops and things where they can help each other and help the city kind of see what's out there and maybe give people a new way to look at art.
Yeah. Now, is this, you mentioned that some is workspace and some is living and workspace.
Right.
This is not open to the public. This is not a place the public is invited to go.
Not exactly. They do have things that are open to the public, and some of them are out there in the park areas.
Mm-hmm.
They have music and they have open festival type things that they're working on trying to do more and more of and be more cohesive in that. But I think they needed to kind of get their feet on the ground and get settled first and figure out how to make things come together first. And so my understanding is that, yeah, they have had some open houses and open gallery exhibits where people could come in, but it's not like a public gallery space
right.
or a public space yet.
Right.
But I think that's what they're moving towards, is to have more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're excited about it, being able to work with them as well. But that is the goal, I think, is to make it more inviting to the public and have the public have an appreciation for when they're able to be part of it and to be open to it. But I do know that they have used the park during the warmer weather months and days to have things in the park that are more inclusive of the public.
Oh, that it's fantastic. It's a safe space for the artists.
Exactly.
And I mean, all that creative energy.
Exactly.
In one place is phenomenal. So
yeah.
Now I know this is the old City Hall, and there was an extension
mm-hmm.
on the city. Is that entire space part of Art Space, or is it just the main building?
No, I think it's work. I did a tour before it was finished, and I think that the idea was that they would both, that the extension and the connection would all be part of
okay.
the ultimate goal is to have that all be part of it if it isn't already.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And it, I can't remember where I read it, but they're talking about how having all these artists living there and the positive impact on the restaurants in the area and
sure.
how it's just making everything bloom.
Yeah.
In the East End.
Yeah, because, there's, maybe 60 or 70 spaces there, and each of those folks ideally would be bringing in new people to come and experience Dearborn in this particular mm-hmm. area of Dearborn. So the businesses around would hopefully benefit from that. And I've seen signs of it already with new restaurants opening and the bike share thing that I forget what that's called. But the bikes that you can ride for for the public, they have their section of the bikes there at Art Space in the park,
and
they have festival or concerts regularly in the summer. But I don't know if that's an Art Space thing or a Dearborn Development Authority thing, but they do have wonderful concerts. I've seen a few myself through the last couple of years, and I think that should continue to happen through the summer. And then, of course, they have the weekend jazz concerts that are always popular there. So they're still using the space in different ways for the public. But as far as the Art Space part of it, I think they're trying to find ways to integrate it and have it become more public friendly, public usage, open, more of an open environment for the public at large.
Right. And the people that come in, the artists that come in, you mentioned you were on a selection group team of sorts. Are you looking for anything in particular? Are you looking for a variety of different types?
Yeah, this was back in the, just at the very beginning when there was a committee put together to try to have just to give them a little bit of help in getting the folks that needed to come into the Art Space, give them kind of a section to work with and such. So I'm not on the committee now, but at that time it was part of the overall committee's goal to ask a certain type of question to make sure that the people were not just trying to get housing, but that they were, trying to find that their creative space that they could use and such. So I'm not sure if that's answering your question, but I know that the original intention was to find artists who would be a good fit for the Art Space. And I think that's what they've done.
That's great. So we have a variety of people. We have, you met, as you mentioned earlier, we have a variety of mediums and
It was amazing to be on that committee. It's no longer necessary because once the folks who have come into Art Space kind of take it over, that's the idea, is that they become self-sustaining and self-governing. But the initial group of folks that I was honored to be part of were arts educators and art historians and local artists themselves who were able to interview people. And as I said, they were all ages, all backgrounds, all ethnicities, all varieties, and just kind of putting forward their vision and their work, showing, sharing their work. They would sometimes show us play music, sometimes show us videos of their art, sometimes take us to their website. Some of them were culinary artists, some of them were jewelry makers or fabric artists, some visual, some more traditional like visual artists, painters, sculptors, things like that. So it was a real wonderful mix of artists, and as I said, of all ages, that became part of the residency of Art Space.
Yeah. Wow. Exciting artistic things going on in the city of Dearborn.
There truly are.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we are just about at the end of our time. Thank you so much for being here. This has been a really interesting discussion. Talk a little bit one more time about the important websites that we need to go to, FOT.
Well, once again, my name is Ralph Valdez. I'm the director of the Dearborn Community Arts Council, and the website for the DCAC, Dearborn Community Arts Council, is dcacarts.org. And if you're interested in the Festival of Trees, which is happening at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, their website is fot.org, and they're going through this Sunday till 4 p.m. The DCAC also is in charge of the Pajeski Art Gallery, which is at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, as well as the Festival of Trees there. And we are up through December 16th, and you can go to our website, dcacarts.org, to get the exact hours, because they do fluctuate depending on what else is going on at the center. So, as I mentioned, the Festival of Trees ends this Sunday, but the Pajeski Art Gallery's Holiday Boutique Gift Shop will be going through December 16th. So we'll have a few more days, at least another week or so, to celebrate and to invite people to come and experience all the wonderful art.
And experience it. You can smell it, you can taste it, and all the different things you talked about, and you can help the kids and you can help the critters.
Exactly.
It's all good.
It's all good. It's every purchase you make is doing somebody some good there.
Fantastic. Ralph, thank you so much for being here today with the new WHFR Journal, and thank you all for listening to the new WHFR Journal, where we discuss the happenings in the Dearborn community. The views and opinions expressed on the WHFR Journal are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
WHFR Dearborn.
The longest highway.